Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. Today's message is called Between the Rock and a Solid Place. And we begin with two rather different kinds of texts. The first one is Isaiah, the 35th chapter, the first through the third verses. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and giving. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And that's followed by James, the 5th chapter, the 7th through the 10th verses. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Be strengthened in your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near, beloved. Do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors as an example of suffering and patience, beloved. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, as I said, I've chosen two seemingly contradictory texts today. In one, the prophet Isaiah paints a picture of the desert blooming, the flowers blossoming in dry, parched land, and the whole earth rejoicing. While the words in the book of James are a rather sobering reminder of the kind of hard work of faith, the effort that comes into faith. He encourages believers to stand firm and be patient. Isaiah's is a theology of exuberance, and James is a theology of endurance. So, Reverend Liz, why put these two rather conflicting messages together? Our natural inclination is to either work or celebrate. We don't necessarily think of comfort in terms of struggle. But this is exactly what the Bible teaches us. It is what I call the paradox of our faith. Christianity is overflowing with paradox, seeming contradictions. We are told that the last will be first, and in order to save our lives, we have to lose them. And you have to die to your old self to be born again. And in order to reign, you must serve. The dictionary defines paradox as an idea or concept that contradicts itself, or contradicts reason, or is the opposite of conventional wisdom, or patently absurd. In the Bible, a paradox is God's truth that takes time and study to discern. In many ways, Jesus is the biggest paradox of them all, the one who promises peace and brings a sword, the one who offers an easy yoke but demands we pick up the cross. According to the world, that doesn't make any sense, and so the world denies Jesus. But I was watching TV the other night, and it dawned on me the implication of this paradox of the world. The world doesn't accept the Bible's paradox, but refuses to recognize its own. Watching TV, you have to think about how much happiness and joy that's marketed in advertisement. The messaging and commercials, not just during the holiday seasons, but all the time, artfully connect shopping to happiness, shopping to fulfillment, shopping to satisfaction. TV parents are bursting with joy as they spend incredible amounts of money for the newest Xbox or iPad or Apple computer. Over the holidays, I watched a group of mothers literally dancing through a department store. They're synchronized as they throw different products in each other's carts, and then they high-five each other. Actor Samuel Jackson has never been as good on the movie screen as he is selling those Capital One credit cards. What's in your wallet? Media has mastered the art of selling the message. There is joy in spending your money. There is absolutely success in getting in debt. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting the shopping is evil. I shop. We live in a capitalist economy, but here's what I want you to do. Watch the happiness and joy unfold on TV and then go out shopping. No matter where you go, you're going to run into some unhappy people at those checkout lines. You're going to see anxious people snapping at kids and at each other. They're hurried. They're worried. Some are in downright despair. The commercials tell us that spending money makes us happy. I'm not so sure. I think the world squeezes you in between a rock and a hard place. Now, if you focus on God's Word, well, that's different. I think God's Word will fit you in between the rock and a solid place. That's paradox. That's spiritual contradiction. But I guarantee you it will lead you to truth. So which would you choose? Consumerism or God's Word? Let me explain now. This is why consumerism can be a problem. As I said, I'm aware this is a capitalistic society. I have credit cards too, so I am not saying that it's all of that. But what I am saying is consumerism is not the most important value in our lives. That's the message that you get, that the most important thing we have to think about is economy. The most important value is the economic value. Consumption is the supreme value. Now, that's good news if you're rich, but if you're not rich, that's a problem. Because the world's going to value you based on economics. You know, as you grow older and you spend less, you become less important to those who have stores. It's just not fair. And the poor getting poor and the older being forgotten, something is wrong because we have confused values. And a problem is that you don't even think about when you buy into the world's value system, you can easily get caught up in the consumption trap there. Whether you're rich or poor, if you're not careful, you find yourself between that rock of growing debt and bad credit and that hard place of emptiness. If you prioritize economic values over spiritual values, there's a hole there. Now, I'm not saying that economy has no importance. Of course it does. But James's message to the church is to examine itself against the world, to stop being hypocrites, to stop doing what the world does, to teach correct values, to teach correct Christian behavior. You see, folks in the early church were behaving just like the folks in the world. And James warned them that faith is no good if it doesn't have the appropriate actions that go along with it. Faith by itself, not accompanied by some action, is dead. That's being caught between the rock and the hard place. But if you make God your rock, come on now, if you make God your rock, that's the beauty of what the prophet Isaiah is telling us. That's why these seemingly contradictory texts actually work really well together. The same God who judges your disobedience promises you restoration and relief when you turn around, turn away from your wicked ways, and make God your rock. Isaiah promises Israel that God is as just in his mercy as he is severe in his judgment. When you surrender yourself to God, you let go of the world. I'm not buying what the world is selling. Then, regardless of your circumstances, whether you are rich or poor, you find yourself between the rock and a solid place. You are now in the world, but not of it. You are now modeling the paradox of Jesus. You are sanctified. You are set apart. You are cleansed and made holy. Applying God's word in the family, on the job, in the mall, has the effect of purifying our minds and our hearts. Be in the world and not of it. Don't get caught up in the madness of the crowd. Be in the world but not of it. You don't have to pay $5 or $600 for baby's toys. Get that baby a certificate of deposit. Start a college fund. Be in the world and not of it. Don't cut that lady off in the mall parking lot because you're in a rush to get to the next store. Let her in. Give her a break. Show her how God's grace works through us. As Christians, we are called not to conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that is how rejoicing occurs in the wilderness and blossoms bloom in the desert. You show this barren, dying, consumption-driven world God's grace. And when you do that, the world will be transformed to one person, one moment at a time. That is the paradox of the action of our faith. But there's one more message we need to be aware of. And we go back to James, James 5, 7, 10, and I'll just read a word or two. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. Don't give up on God's promise. God is faithful and will bring all of creation to its rightful purpose. So you can not get caught up in consumerism and think, oh, well, I don't have anything to buy, so my life is over. Well, here's the whole point. Just be patient. What God promises us is so much more than a new car. It's so much more than a bigger house. It's so much better than a vacation. God promises us a just wonderful, abundant life that is greater than we could ask or imagine. God is faithful to God's promises and is going to bring all of creation to its rightful purpose. And we, get this, we are part of creation. So remember, no matter what you're going through, you're a child of God, and God will show up in your life, and God will show out. God can show up in the desert of your finances, in the wilderness of your marriage. God can move in any barren part of your life, your children, your emotional problems, your depression. God put us in a physical world so he can act physically, but his plan is spiritual, which trumps physical any time. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, but being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. And you also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be between that rock and the solid place. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let me.